Continuing our conversation with Bob Larson from the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. And before the break, I kind of teased we're going to talk about some heat stress issues. And, you know, it's hot out there, and we're not the only ones who feel it. Cows feel it, too.
That's exactly right. And so, and humans are used to thinking about the heat index, kind of the combination of temperature, humidity, and wind. And that's exactly the same concepts or the same things we think about with cattle. You know, the worst situation for cattle would be a very hot day that's very humid with no wind. And so those days, fortunately, aren't all that common. But when they occur, you can run into where cattle will have their body temperature rise. Just like a person that's outside during those days, it can be quite dangerous if their body temperature rises. So some of the things that we think about with cattle are making sure that they have access to shade, plenty of water to drink, and again, where they're living matters a lot. If they can be out where there's grass, that the soil temperature, their contact temperature is much less than on a dirt lot or something like that. So if you have high temperatures, but you've got some wind, cattle can handle that a little bit better. If you've got some high humidity, but the temperature's not quite as high, they can handle that. But when you get kind of that worst case scenario, managers need to be aware of the comfort and health of their cattle if you've got one of those really hot, humid, and still days.
And for folks maybe who aren't very familiar with the signs and out of heat stress, that's kind of what we're talking about here, the stress you will put on your body. Some people might be familiar with the human side, but I know people just getting into the field or students, a lot of this seems a lot of focus on students here. They might not be very familiar with what signs to look for. What do you look for when you're looking at heat stress in cattle?
Yeah, and one of the differences, cattle don't really sweat like people do. And so they're not able to dissipate heat or get rid of heat through sweating. So what you'll see them do is breathing rapidly. They can actually kind of get rid of a lot of body heat through breathing in and out. And so what you'll see is rapid breathing. And in worst case scenarios, when they're really becoming heat stressed, you know, they will be panting basically in an effort to get rid of excess heat. So on a really hot day, if you see some cattle laying down in the shade, kind of, acting relatively normal, they're not really under stress. They might be warm and slightly uncomfortable, but they're not what we would call that heat stress where we're really concerned about their health. So rapid breathing is one of the things that we're looking for in cattle that are starting to get into trouble.
And when you notice that, when you see your cattle, is there a difference in how you handle it? If it's like a younger cow or a calf, or maybe a full grown adult or something that's ready to go off for processing?
Yes, there are some differences, kind of by age and where they, life stage. But the tools are basically all the same. Make sure that they have plenty of water to drink, because that's another way they dissipate heat. They need a lot of water. So anytime you'd have a hot, humid day and the cattle have trouble getting access to water, they can get in trouble. So we make sure they have water, try to get them some shade, and they'll find kind of, if they're in a pasture or something like that, they'll find the micro environments, the place in the pasture that is the coolest to be. And they will seek those out and find those. And so we don't really like them, get around and move the cattle if they're already heat stressed. So it's about identifying a dangerous situation and kind of intervening early before it gets to be a problem.
And, of course, check out the KSRE for more information regarding that sort of thing as well. They can help you out a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Before we get out of here, we're sort of coming up on our time cap, but we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming semester. Students are coming back and classes start up next Monday. What are things looking like at the College of Vet Med as you approach the semester? I know from my experience in the JMC, things are shifting around a bit. We're kind of getting settled into what we're expecting to see class-wise between the online and remote sessions or online and in-person sessions, but you do a lot of hands-on stuff there, so you can't fully do that.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of hands-on lab, a lot of hands-on learning. And so, there's the instructors have done a lot of adjusting to work with kind of smaller groups of students, keep everybody spread apart, use We are using some videos. So as an instructor is maybe doing some hands-on teaching, they'll have video capture of that so that some of the students can be, you know, separated out farther away and can observe kind of from a distance instead of just right over the instructor's shoulder. And so those are just some of the strategies. I think all across campus you're going to see a lot of changes, doing a lot of online teaching, but a lot of the hands-on teaching does still have to be hands-on. We're just trying to keep people kind of spread apart.
And I know in a lot of classes we're moving remote, folks still doing their rotations and in the vet center over there were able to continue going on in person and continuing to do their rotations. I imagine that'll continue sort of no matter how the semester plays out. You're going to need people there to be able to treat animals regardless.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts of the vet school that were, you know, continued on through the entire shutdown period, our diagnostic lab as well as the clinic working with client animals that are coming in. We had our senior students and staff and faculty working with that in those situations face-to-face and pretty much going to have to continue to offer those services as we go forward, just trying to figure out the best way to do that.
And what are you anticipating enrollment-wise? I know that some classes in the JMC are a little lighter than expected or a little lighter than they've been in the past. Are you seeing any impact on that on your end?
Not for this year. Basically, we have a certain set number of students per class, and all of those are full, so we are at full capacity. And we're hoping that continues to stay that way as we move into future years. For now, we will have a full complement of students.
All right. Well, Bob, we're just about out of time. Is there any last words you wanted to get in before we say goodbye?
Well, no, it's just good to talk about some of these end-of-summer issues as we talk about heat and humidity, flies, and the start of school. Those are all kind of exciting things as we think about the end of summer.
All right. I really appreciate you calling in. And if there's anyone wants to learn more about this, vet.k-state.edu is how you learn more from the College of Vet Med. And of course, there's always the K-State Research and Extension at ksre.k-state.edu. Bob, thanks for calling in.
You bet. Thank you for a good morning.
Of course. And we're going to get out of here for our second break of the morning, but we will be back. When we come back, we'll be talking about an archery tournament, the 3D archery tournament, coming up at Fort Riley. Stay tuned. You're listening to In Focus.